All right. This morning, we're going to come to a stop after today talking about changing times require us to change. And we could probably go on right up until Christmas, but we're not going to. I want you to look with me in Jeremiah chapter 48, verse 11. It says, Moab has been at ease from his youth. He has settled on his dregs. Stay with me. And has not been emptied from vessel to vessel or container to container, nor has he gone into captivity. Therefore, his taste remains in him, and his scent has not changed. This verse of scripture is talking about a country, the country, the people of Moab. But we're going to talk about us as individuals and as a church as we kind of come to a stopping point in talking about changing times require us to change. But first, this verse is telling us that Moab was in a rut. The verse says that he was settled on his dregs. Now, in the ancient world, of course, the way some of you are old enough, you remember the I Love Lucy episode where she's stomping on grapes in this barrel, you know, and has a good old time. Some of you don't even know who Lucille Ball is, and that's okay. But what they would do is they would have like a big container, and they would fill it with grapes. And yes, people would actually get in there in their bare feet and stomp and stomp and stomp until they squished all the grapes. And then what they would do is they'd let that set there for a while so that the seeds, the skin, stems would kind of settle to the bottom and the juice, which would become wine, would come to the top. Now, the thing is, they couldn't let the juice set in the dregs, the skin, the seeds, the stems, all that. You let it set in that stuff too long, it'll make the wine bitter. Have a bitter taste to it. So what they do is they get three or four people come, and they would come and they would pour it into another container. And you know how it is when you're pouring, you can pour it just enough, and then you've got all the crud right there. Some of it does go into there, but you got most of it out. And they'd let it sit in here for a little while. Then they'd take it and they would pour it into another one. And each time it was poured, they would lose some of the dregs, the things that would embitter the wine, make it sour, make it taste bad. And in this process, Moab, the scripture says, as a country, God is using this as an illustration about a country, about a people group. He says that Moab was settled, was just sitting in its dregs. Now, the thing about Moab, those people, they worshiped a god whose name was Chemosh. And Chemosh, the name means a dunghill deity. Scripture tells us elsewhere that God said he would not walk through Moab. I guess he didn't want to step in something. Anyway, Moab was in a rut. And just like Moab, often we can be in a rut, unwilling to change, just like Moab. And then when things get really bad, we're under a lot of pressure, some people then begin to look to God. They're willing to get out of their rut when the pain gets great enough. They're willing to change. They become flexible, and they're willing to go into a new and different situation so that God can then further work in their life. See, the thing is, when we as individuals or we as a church, when we don't allow ourselves to change and go from one situation into another, we don't lose some of the things that we need to lose in our life that make us bitter, that make us sour, that make us stink. There are things that we need to lose because if we carry them into the next stage, the next season of our life, spiritually or naturally, they will end up being a hindrance to us. They will impact us. But if we let the Lord, He will pour us from vessel to vessel, from container to container, situation to situation. And each time he pours us, we will be better and sweeter in the next situation because we will lose some of the junk that developed or that we had in the last situation we were in. So we need to learn to be flexible. Got to be flexible. The problem is, not only is the older we get a little more or less flexible. You know, I was sitting, I don't remember exactly how I was sitting, something like this. And I remember, you know, as a kid, I could sit like this for hours and hours and get up and no problem. I sit like this for probably about 4 minutes, and then I get up and go, oh, okay, wait a minute. I sit there like that too long. You know, things just kind of stiffen and tighten up. You know, now I know some of you, you do all these calisthenics and, you know, yoga type exercises or whatever, and you don't have to be that way, Pastor Phil. You can become like Gumby again. Oh, this, I'm dating myself. Old illustrations that nobody knows who Gumby and Pokey are, but that's okay. We would rather remain in our same rut. We don't want to change. Why? Because we're comfortable with where we're at. We don't like everything about where we're at, but we want to stay because that way we don't have to lose some of our attitudes because we feel justified in them, right? We don't have to use the methods, the way we're doing things because, well, this is just the way it's easiest for me, and we don't lose some of our wrong motives as well as other things that want to hang on to us that God would like us to be free of so that he can do more with our life. Jeremiah understood this process. We're going to look at it all, but I'm just kidding. This morning we're kind of doing an overview of Jeremiah's life and looking at this aspect of being willing to change and what happens when we don't, and there's benefits that if we're willing to change, they're there. But see, you know, again, we pray, oh God, change my life. You know, I just don't like this person. I can't stand them. And I don't like this situation that's developing over here. And we want God to change everything out there in our life, but we're not willing to change. Please, I love you, but let me remind you. If you won't change, your world is not going to change. If you're not willing to change the way you're thinking about people and situations, if you're not willing to let God come into there and speak to you, and you be willing to say, okay, God, do I have stinking thinking? Am I settled on my dregs? Have I stayed in this attitude, this funk, this season of my life so long that I'm unwilling to change, Lord? Then speak to me. And you got to do that with, okay, Lord, whatever you say to me, I'll take it under advisement. I'll think about it and see if it's really needed. See, that's the problem is, God tells us to change things that we don't think need to be changed. Well, I don't see how me changing this is going to affect all this stuff out here. That's because we are blind compared to God. We have multiple blind spots. God sees everything clearly. He is light. There's nothing hidden from his sight. But there are a lot of things hidden from our sight. You know how I know that? You know how you can know that? Because every one of us said, if I only knew now, then what I know now, right? Because you were blind to it then. Oh, man, why didn't I see that? You talk to God. I mean, Jesus said the Holy Spirit would show us things to come. Jeremiah understood this process. In Jeremiah chapter 1, you can read it. It's a very interesting reading in chapter 1. God called Jeremiah to the ministry of a prophet. But you see, the thing is, Jeremiah was the son of a priest, a Jewish priest. He was to be a priest. He knew the life of the priest, the duties and responsibilities. It's what he grew up with. But God said that he wanted to use Jeremiah to speak to the nations. and to tell Israel to repent in the time of apostasy that they were in, the turning away from God. But he also said to Jeremiah, I'm going to send you. You're going to be my mouthpiece. You're going to be my prophet. You're going to speak to nations. You're going to speak to your own country. But he also told him that his own nation would not repent, and they would be very mean to him, cruel, brutal to him. It would be very hard on him. You see, God is wanting to pour Jeremiah into another vessel, another place. But Jeremiah, in chapter 1, you can read it, he made all kinds of excuses. You know the saying, he who is good at making excuses is rarely good at anything else. So some of you excuse makers, you can go read chapter 9, you might learn some new excuses. Just trying to help everybody here, okay? Wherever you're at. He began to say, I can't speak. You know, I'm too young. On and on and on. Anyway, when God pours us into another vessel, another situation, we've got to leave more of our carnality, our fleshly inclinations. Well, I'm mad. And, you know, the James says, the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. If you want things to be made right, righteous in your life, you're going to have to leave some of your fleshly carnality, your petty irritations and mad because you've been inconvenienced and all that kind of stuff. Some of those things you got to leave behind to be effective in the new place that God wants to bring you to. You got to leave more of your carnality behind, and you got to take more faith into that next situation. Leaning on the Lord more, since we don't know everything about the next situation. You know, it's really true. It's the fear of the unfamiliar is why we don't change. It's the fear of the unknown, the unfamiliar. I'm comfortable with this because I'm familiar with it. But that doesn't make it good. Sometimes it's hard, but we need to move on and not look back so that we can grow. Anyway, God spoke in Jeremiah chapter 1 about how he would use Jeremiah. And we, like Jeremiah, we've got to be flexible with God, willing to change and do what God is leading us into. In Jeremiah chapter 12, look at me beginning in verse 1. Jeremiah says, you are always righteous, O Lord, when I bring a case, an argument, I'm concerned about something before you. Yet I would speak with you about your justice. Why does the way of the wicked prosper? Why do all the faithless live at ease? You have planted them and they have taken root. They grow and bear fruit. And that's not the kind of fruit you want. You are always on their lips, but far from their hearts. Yet you know me, O Lord. You see me and test my thoughts about you. Now, I'm not saying we should pray like they did in the Old Testament. He goes on to pray, drag them off like sheep to be butchered. Set them apart for the day of slaughter. I've thought about it, but how long will the land lie parched and the grass in every field be withered? Because those who live in it are wicked, the animals and the birds have perished. Boy, there's a whole series I have on, you know, depleting earth resources and the environment and so forth, and it's none of the reasons that you'll find in media today. Here's a clue. Because those who live in the land are wicked, the animals and the birds have perished. Moreover, the people are saying, he will not see what happens to us. God's not paying any attention to us. He doesn't, you know. Well, anyway, Jeremiah found out as he began to do what God told him to do that it was hard. And he began to complain to the Lord about that. But God didn't say, oh, Jeremiah, you're right. This is harder than I thought it was going to be on you. Here, let me just pick you up and set you over here and you can just be by yourself and not have to do this anymore. Nope. That's not what God did. Rather, God said he was preparing him for greater things that had greater rewards. So the Lord speaks to him and says in verse 5 of Jeremiah 12, he says, if you have raced with men on foot, and they have worn you out, how will you compete with horses? Oh, wow, that's quite a step up. run with horses? He says, you stumble in a safe country. In other words, where the land is smooth and there's no obstacles to trip you up. How will you manage in the thickets by the Jordan? In other words, when there's obstacles that you have to dodge and run around. How are you going to be effective there? Look at chapter 15, verse 15. Says, you understand, O Lord, remember me and care for me. Avenge me on my persecutors. You are long-suffering. Do not take me away. Think of how I suffer reproach for your sake. Verse 16. When your words came, I ate them, I consumed them, and they were my joy and my heart's delight, for I bear your name, just like we bear the name of Jesus. You see, when we're in a difficult place, when times are difficult, we're doing what God called us to do. And again, this is something that a lot of followers of Jesus struggle with. Well, I just thought if God called me to go and do this or to move here and do this thing or whatever, why is there all this opposition? We just think we ought to be able to do what God says, and then God ought to just make it perfect around us. And that's how we know it's God's will, because it's just all nice and perfect and peace and there's no problems. This is the will of God. Okay. Have you read Scripture? Have you read the Bible? Jesus, everywhere he went, they tried to stone him, throw him off a cliff. Eventually, they crucified him. The Apostle Paul, he had trouble just about everywhere he went. Being in the will of God does not exempt you from experiencing trouble. Amen. I'm a teacher, so I'm repetitive. So stay with me. There's only two times in life that you have trouble. When you're in the will of God and when you're out of the will of God. Amen. It's the only two times. It's not complicated. Okay? Remember that. Jesus said, in this world you will have trouble, tribulation. But be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. In other words, in the midst of trouble... Okay, for those of you raised in church and you know all the stories, just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, right? They were thrown into a fiery furnace, but King Nebuchadnezzar, he looks down and he says, didn't we throw three? But I see four, and one's like the Son of God. Jesus was with them in the fire. Why didn't he protect them from the fire? No, he said, I will be with you, and I'll help you to navigate it. They pull him out of there. And they didn't even smell like smoke. Okay? So instead of praying, God, get me out of this, start looking to Jesus as a friend who will never leave you or forsake you. He will be with you in the trouble and show you how to manage and navigate it. I know, we would just rather, God, bring a big fire extinguisher. I hear you. When we're in a difficult place, getting into God's word is what will bring us through. Then when we've reached a place where we're comfortable, we're successful, we're standing with the Lord, we're winning, God will then oftentimes say, it's time to change and move to the next place because I'm not finished with you yet. God says in Jeremiah 25, verse 11, says, this whole country will become a desolate wasteland. He's talking about God's people, Jerusalem, Judea. These nations will serve the king of Babylon 70 years. But when 70 years are fulfilled, I will punish the king of Babylon and his nation and the land of the Babylonians for their guilt, declares the Lord, and I will make it desolate forever. I will bring upon that land all the things I have spoken against it, all that are written in this book and prophesied by Jeremiah against the nations. You see, when God wants to lead us to the next place, and this is the next place Jeremiah and these people are going. They're going into captivity. When God leads us to the next place, we think, well, wait a minute, this can't be God. God, I can't go into that. I just got here. I'm comfortable in this situation. Here's the background of this. Jeremiah had warned. God had spoke to him, says, you warned the people that you live with. He says, that if they don't turn from idol worship, they will go into captivity. I'm going to send them into captivity. They did not listen to Jeremiah. They accused Jeremiah of being a traitor because they're trying to mount a defense against the Babylonians. And Jeremiah is saying, no, look, God says, if you go out and surrender to the Babylonians, it'll be well with you. If you stay in here, you're going to die. And they accused him of being a traitor. They didn't listen to Jeremiah, and they were taken into Babylon, into captivity for 70 years. But here's the interesting thing. The people of Israel, when they went into Babylonian captivity, when they came out, from that day till today, the people of Israel have never gone back into idol worship. They have other issues, but idol worship is not one of those. So anyway, it comes to a point then that the Babylonians have come into Jerusalem. People have lost. Jeremiah watches the people being carried away into captivity, and his heart goes out. Jeremiah also wrote the book of Lamentations. In chapter 3, look with me at beginning in verse 22. It says, because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, not totally wiped out. For his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will wait for him. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in him, to the one who seeks him. It is good to wait quietly for the salvation, the help, the deliverance of the Lord. How could Jeremiah talk about the mercy of the Lord at such a time as this? Because Jeremiah knew that they would be back, and when they came back, they would be different. In fact, in chapter 24, God says, you know, before this event happens, he's saying it's going to happen, and here's the reason why. In 24, beginning of verse 4, the word of the Lord came to me saying, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, like these good figs, so I will acknowledge those who are carried away captive from Judah, whom I have sent out of this place for their good. Because the Babylonians destroyed just about everything. There was nothing left. I will send them into the land of the Chaldeans, the Babylonians. For I will set my eyes on them for good. I will bring them back to this land. I will build them and not pull them down. I will plant them and not pluck them up. Then I will give them a heart to know me, that I am the Lord. They shall be my people, and I will be their God, for they will return to me with their whole heart. They were being poured into Babylon, but they would be back without the dregs of idol worship. God is pouring us as a church into a different place in ministry, a bigger and better vessel to reach more people and do more in these last days. And God is pouring you and me, us, from container to container, even in little ways, so that we'll lose some of the junk, grow in him and get sweeter and be better in the next situation, the next season of life. Let me just say, if you are poured into a little container where no one sees you, or even if you're poured into a place like Jeremiah where people actually despise you and are actively working against you, be flexible. Lose the dregs in your life that need to go. Let Jesus. Okay. Let's stop and think with me for a moment. The analogy of Scripture has been used of grapes. And the dregs, as we said, is the skin, the seed, the stems. How many of you know that the stems served a vital purpose for that grape? Right? For a time. It served its purpose for a season. When that season is over, the thing that actually helped you to grow is no longer needed. I like the analogy of David. We're all familiar that David took his slingshot and slew a giant. well, knocked him out and then cut off his head. You know, before that, King Saul tried to put David in the king's own armor, gave him his sword, and David is clunking around and says, I can't do this. I've not had any training experience in this, but that's what he did when he was watching sheep. He killed a bear, he killed a lion. He knew how to use his slingshot. I'm sure he's clipping wings off flies too. Just, he's good at it. But how many of you know when David became king, he's not leading the troops out to battle with his slingshot. He learned to use a sword. Slingshot served him fine when he was younger, but now you're going to be surrounded by people in close combat. You don't have time to sling around, and it's not going very far because they're right in front of you. You got to learn to use the sword. You got to learn to use the modern weapons, if you will, of warfare. And so it is with us. Things that have served us in the past, if you're not careful, you'll hang on to them. But this has been so vital to me. It's been good. Okay, it was good for that season of your life. Paul said, when I was a child, I thought like a child, I spoke like a child, I acted like a child. But whenever I grew up, I put away childish things. Some of us are still working on that. But don't blame me. That's what I miss about sometimes being a youth pastor. I was a youth pastor for more years than I should have been. But people just say, oh, yeah, he's the youth pastor. And they'd go, oh, okay. You see, you can be zany, you can be crazy, whatever. Oh, that makes sense. But you're not supposed to do those things as a pastor, you know. You're supposed to be more dignified and proper. And yeah. I'm just going to be me, okay? I'm sorry. So anyway, you put away some of those things because they will begin to stink. Got one more analogy. It could be like manna. It's good for a day. And then after that, what happens? It breeds worms and stinks if you let it sit there too long. Okay, enough of that, because the illustrations aren't getting any better right before lunch. Okay. Anyway, we need to lose the dregs that need to go. There are some things we never leave. We have them our whole life long. We need to let them go. We need to let Jesus become more visible in our lives so that others can see him more and more. There's a few verses, 2 Timothy chapter 2. I wanted to read the whole chapter, but I knew that probably wasn't going to fly for a lot of reasons. But just look at these verses with me. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3. Endure. I don't like enduring. Endure hardship with us like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. Verse 15, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, who correctly handles the word of truth. Verse 20, in a large house there are articles, vessels, containers, not only of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay. Some are for noble purposes, some are for ignoble. If a man cleanses himself from the latter, and we didn't read the verse 18, 19 right through there, he will be an instrument for noble purposes, made holy, useful to the master, and prepared to do any good work. God will prepare you, but you got to be willing to be poured from one vessel to another and lose some of this stuff. Flee evil desires of youth. Pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. And that's what it's about. Getting our hearts purified. What does that mean, Pastor? Purify my heart. Not your blood pumper, but the core of your life. Remember, Proverbs 4 says, guard your hearts. Guard your heart because out of it flow the issues of life. How you deal with life, how you handle life, comes from what's in your heart. And this is why it's so important to be in God's Word. The psalmist said in Psalm 119, I think it's verse 11, Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you, that I might not miss the mark in following you, get off track. You see, the psalmist understood, even back then, what Jesus would say much later, when the pressure's on and life is squeezing you, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. And whatever's in your heart comes out of your mouth. And you see, that's why some of us, when the pressure's on at work, profanity comes out of your mouth. And I'm not saying, oh, it's so, don't hurt my precious Christian ears because of profanity. I'm not saying that. I'm saying what comes out of your mouth? It's in your heart. This is not easy. The fall before COVID hit, doctors gave me a cancer diagnosis. I know who my healer is. But this may be instructive, so I'll share a little more too. I just didn't immediately say, oh, in the name of Jesus, I'm healed. I mean, I did declare those things, but I said, Lord, what do you want me to do? Because, see, every one of us can be a legend in our own mind, especially concerning our faith. God will tell you what. You see, faith is not what you conclude and muster up. It's what God speaks to you and then you do. God spoke to me and said, go for treatment. What? Okay. KU Med now offers proton radiation. They didn't have it here yet. So I went to Oklahoma City. COVID hit. It was the most weird and amazing thing during that process because there were mixed blessings. But I'm driving 1,300 miles every week to do this. And it was grueling. And, you know, even proton radiation takes a little something out of you. It's not as invasive as regular radiation. But I'm driving this, and every week I don't want to go. I'm leaving my family. I'm leaving my church family behind in a worldwide pandemic. And anyway, it was just grueling. And then one day I leave because it was Mondays, I'd have to be there around 11 o'clock. So I'd leave here like 5 o'clock in the morning. And I get in the car and I just get a little west of Ottawa on I-35. And my wife calls me and says, are these your clothes hanging here? Yeah, they're not back here hanging on that little thing. And I just started pounding the steering wheel. God, I can't explain to you what rose up and what this whole process was rising up with me, but I quickly recognized, God, I don't like what I'm finding out is in me that I didn't really know was there. And it's only in pressure situations will you find out what is truly, really in your own heart. Until you can own up to that and say, God, I don't know where this came from. I don't like it, and I don't want it in me. I don't want it in me. I'm asking you for help. So one of our points has been, some of you, you're going to come after him. Pastor, you forgot one of those. No, we got them all. Okay, good. You got to go to God's word, but listen to me. It's not just to check off, I read X number of chapters. You read until God speaks to you out of that. If you're reading just to get something done, you're going to find very little, I won't say that there's not any, but little profit in God's word. But if you read until the voice of the Lord, it's the expression of this is, it's like the words jump off the page and it speaks something. It's quickened on the inside. God's, what do you want me to do with what you're telling me? And then you begin to apply that. That's faith in action, doing what God says. And that's what brings life. That's what brings transformation. That's what will help get the dregs out of your life. The things that you may not know there. I promise you, there's probably people around you who know that it's there. But again, we have this uncanny ability to ignore things about us, about ourselves. But when you're willing to be honest and say, God, there's junk in my life. I want it out. And then let God speak to you and show you how to get it out. So it was weird driving in COVID because usually very busy highways were almost empty. Gas in Oklahoma City dropped down to $1.04. The cheapest I saw during COVID was at a Sam's in Tulsa. They went for 99 cents, and yes, they had a long line. So, you know, that every bit helps. I found clothes. God provided. Let God pour you, stretch you, so that you can be free and go set captives free. I want you to set your stuff aside again this last week as we conclude this series. I want you to stand with me, and I want us to read this passage. It's just three verses out of James chapter 1. Okay? And you all stand, and I want us to read this aloud and together. Say it out, read it as loud so that you can hear your own voice. You don't have to shout it. You just need to be able to hear yourself reading this together. Here we go. Ready? Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. You have need of endurance that after you've done the will of God, you'll receive the benefit, the promise, the fulfillment of the promise. That's what I want for you. I want you to receive everything in life that God has for you. But you can't stay the same and receive everything because you've got to grow and move with God. Heads bowed and eyes closed this morning. Some of you, you know that there's been areas of your life that your conscience, the Lord, has been dealing with you and you haven't been willing to change. I encourage you this morning, if you're struggling with change that you know needs to happen in your life, in your family, in your situation, at least start praying this way. Lord, help me to be willing to change. Make me willing to be willing to change and move with you. And you can pray that right now, right where you're at. This morning, if you've never begun new life in Jesus Christ, you can do that right now, right where you stand, by saying yes to Jesus. By saying, yes, Jesus, come into my heart and life. Forgive me of the things that I've done wrong. Because we've all done things wrong. I want you to be the leader, the Lord of my life. I'm choosing to follow you. If you've never taken that step to say yes to Jesus, and you know if you have, just as surely as you know if you've got car keys with you today, you know if you've done that. But if you've never taken that step and you're doing that right now, right where you're standing, I invite you to lift a hand, hold it up where I can see it, take it back down. I want to agree together with you that today is the day you start new life in Jesus Christ. Hold it up high. Take it back down. Maybe you say, Pastor, I have said yes to Jesus, but you know, I've kind of turned away from the Lord. I've been away from God, doing my own thing, and I realize trouble without God is not near as good as trouble with God. You say, I'm ready to come back home. I'm ready to come back to the Lord today. I've been away, but I'm coming back now. Would you hold your hand up? I'd like to pray with you right where you're at. Just, all right, yes, anyone else? Yes, yes, anyone else? Hold it up, take it right back down. All right. All right, this morning again, whether you raise your hand or not, everybody, would you just pray this prayer after me? Heavenly Father, I thank you that you love me. Your arms are open to receive me, no matter what I've done or failed to do, I come to you. Lord Jesus, you bring change for my good, and I need some good. So I open to you to follow you wherever you lead me. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. The Lord bless you. Don't be afraid of the unknown with God. It is safer than your current known. He loves you. In times of trouble, don't run from him, run to him. God bless you. We'll see you next time.